you have a Bible tonight, let's see your Bibles. Amen. Word. All right. Turn to Acts chapter 12. If you have a New King James, we're on page 1429. If you have the same King James I have, New King James. Let's do a little review before we go on. We're studying the book of, everybody say Acts, and it's the Acts of who? Say the Holy Spirit. We're studying in the book of, and it's the Acts of who? Last week, 2 weeks ago, there was a man who was not a Jew, a Gentile. He was praying, and God, an angel came to him and told him to ask another man, a Jew, to come to his house to share the gospel. The Gentile, he was a Roman soldier. His name was what? Everybody say Cornelius. Say Cornelius. And God told him through this angel to send for a guy named, everybody say Peter. Everybody say Peter. So you had Cornelius, who was not a Jew, praying that Peter would come and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, his family. Peter came, his whole family and his friends got saved. From that point, the Jews, or who were Christians, Jewish Christians, started sharing the gospel to non-Jews. Before that time, they would never share it to nothing but Jews. It was kind of like a little racism, prejudice in the church. God broke it down and said, listen, I want everybody to get the message. Amen? Amen? So at the same time this is going on, that the gospel's getting out, the Christians are going crazy, sharing their faith, people are getting saved. Herod and the Jews were getting mad at them, and Herod the king started to persecute them, kill them, put them in prison. And in this story we're going to look at today, Peter gets put in prison, and he's in prison. And while he's in prison, there's a family, a little church, people in the house, praying for him to get out. Well, I just say, they're praying for him. They're praying for him because they're going to kill him. And while he's in prison, chained up, he's got a guard on the right, a guard on the left, two guards outside the door. They're praying for him. An angel comes in the cell, wakes him up because he's asleep, unlocks the chains, tells him to get up. We got to go. He goes, all right. He starts walking out. The guards somehow, for some reason, don't do anything. He goes out the cell. Those guards somehow don't do anything. They walk out the city. The gate opens by itself, and he realizes this was a miracle. Now he goes to the house where the people are praying. He knocks on the door. That's knocking right there. This girl, teenage girl named Rhoda. Everybody say Rhoda. One more time, say Rhoda. Rhoda comes to the door. She goes, hello. Peter says, it's Peter. Open the door. Rhoda gets so excited. She doesn't open the door. She runs back and tells everybody, Peter's at the door. Now, you have to understand something. Peter's, they got a death warrant on his life. He's like, let me in, girl. Let me in. Rhoda goes in and tells the other Christians, Peter's at the door. And guess what they tell her? You're crazy. They don't go, yes, God answered our prayer. They go, oh, you girl, you're crazy. You're crazy. And she goes, no. He's really there. He's really there. Y'all are tripping. He's really there. And they go, you're crazy. Listen, just let's pray some more. Let me tell you something. If you ever pray for something, you better expect God to answer. Now, he might not do exactly what you say, like, God, give me a red Cadillac. He may want you to have a little VW bug, 20-year-old VW bug. Okay, that's your answer. Be happy with that. Because he knew if he gave you the Cadillac, you'd be leaning all like this, acting all ghetto, okay? He don't want you to have a Cadillac. But if you ever ask God for something and he answers your prayer, don't ever say, no, God, that didn't happen. Don't ever deny it. You have to be looking for it. You have to be looking for it. So in the story we're going to look at, the title of my message is called Ready Rhoda. Everybody say Ready Rhoda. Say Ready Rhoda. Therefore, tonight, if you ask God, I've been asking God for something, some of y'all in situations you need God's help, let me tell you something. You got to be ready for the miracle. Because God could do it right in front of your face. You don't even know it. You don't even know it. Send you your husband right there. You're looking at him. And you don't even know it. Because he's not what you wanted. You wanted bam, 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 muscles. And he gave you Pee Wee Herman. Hey, you gotta say, God, is this it? Is this it? He says, yeah. He's thin, but he's a man. He's a man. That's what you want. Okay, so you gotta be always like, you gotta be waiting for God to answer your prayer exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. Look in verse 1 of chapter 12. Let's read it right here. Verse 1 of chapter 12. It says, now about the time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He cut off his head. So they suspect he cut off his head. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Passover was when all the Jews from around the world would go to Jerusalem, one of the three big holidays, millions. And so after that, they were going to present Peter to them and kill him, probably kill him, as a sign of, we're against this Christianity thing. So here's Peter in this impossible situation. First point I want to make, and the first challenge I want to give you, is what is your impossible situation that you need a miracle for? A miracle is anything that God can do that you can't do. Okay? If you ask God, God, I just pray that tomorrow there'll be oxygen in San Diego for me to breathe. And yeah, you could pray that. Nothing wrong with praying that, but that's a little like, prayer. God wants you to ask him for stuff that only he can do. Don't ask him for stuff that you can do, then you don't need him. He's like, why are you asking me for that? He wants you to ask for stuff that only he can do. So you need to open up your eyes and say, what are the impossible situations in my life? Some of the impossible situations, some of y'all depressed. Some of you are addicted to pornography, to drugs, to alcoholism. Some of y'all are addicted to your concept of success. You're addicted to things, material things. Some of y'all marriages are messed up. Your relationship with your parents are messed up. Or you're discouraged, you're suicidal, whatever it is. That may be your impossible situation. Guess what? God says, I want that situation. Give it to me. There's nothing too big for God. And so you have to identify what is your impossible situation. Now, if you don't have one, get one. For reals, get one. Say, okay, God, hook me up with some impossibilities. Really, I'm serious. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that you don't intentionally put yourself in a position where you need a miracle, but you pray, you obey, and if you pray and obey, you will find yourself in impossible situations. You will, because God will lead you places where only he can get you out. That's walking by faith. Walking by faith is not taking the secure road. Walking by faith is taking the God road, and God's road leads out into the middle of nowhere. Hey, let me tell you, and that's a fun place to be when you are secure and know that God is with you. So you have to pray, what is my impossible situation? God is calling some of y'all to ministry. He's calling you to leave your job. Y'all look at the receptionist. You say, well, I'm not a receptionist. I'm just an educated MBA executive. I'm not going to answer phones. And you may leave here today hearing this little voice say, you need to answer phones. You need to cut your pay by 80%. Let me tell you something. My last year with the Chargers, I was making $9,000 a game. So 16 weeks every week. But only for 16 weeks. When I got the job at the church the first, a year and a half after I retired, a year and a half after my last check, I was making $125 a week. Amen. $125. $125. I had a house. I had two cars, two kids, one wife. I had it all. I tried a two-wife thing, but it didn't work. One wife. And I had bills and bills. $500 a month. It only paid for my garage. But you know what? God said, go do it. I said, God, it's impossible. He said, with you it is, but with me it's not. Go. God may be calling you to something, and you in your mind think, I can't do it. Forget about your mind. What's God say? Another impossible situation is that some of you in here, you don't have Christ as your Savior. Here's your impossible situation. When you die, you will go to hell. Ooh. That's jacked up. You think it's been hot here last week? Nah, nah. Nah, nah, nah. Hell is hot. You know what the Bible says about hell? Once you're in hell, there's no way out. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is no relief. There is no second chance. No one can pray you out of hell. There is no such thing as purgatory. It does not exist. It's not in the Bible. Read it. Find it. It does not exist. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord or face judgment. The Bible says you're appointed to die one time. Not twice, not three times. One time. I was on a plane talking to the stewardess one day. I had her backed up right into her little kitchen thing right there where you walk in the plane and they got all their food. I was like, bam, you ain't going anywhere, girl. And I was talking to her about the Lord. She says, well, I believe in reincarnation. I believe that in the 1940s I lived in Italy, and she would tell me all this stuff. And I was like, woo-hoo. No, no. No, no. God created you in the womb. He created you in the womb. The Bible says that he formed you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says that everybody, though, is a sinner. The penalty of sin is death. The reason you're going to die is because of sin, not because of old age, not because of gunshot, not because of disease, because of sin. And the Bible says that when you die, you're going to face God. And the only way for your sin to be forgiven is to accept Jesus Christ's death in your place. See, the penalty of sin is death. Jesus died. He died for you. But it's not automatic. You have to surrender your life to him and acknowledge that he did die for you and that you need his death and resurrection for salvation. And by faith, you say, Lord, I have this impossible situation, so therefore, I'm going to come to you for the miracle of salvation and forgiveness. That's your impossible situation. So, first thing we got to do is, what is your impossible situation? Write it down on your little, your bulletin. We got notes. Write it down on your mind. Write it down. Here it is. Because if you give your impossible situation to God, God is guaranteed to do something with it. Something with it. What he wants. Okay? Look what it says. This guy, his impossible situation, he's in prison. He's chained up. They're going to kill him. He's got a soldier here, two soldiers outside, 16 altogether, four soldiers at a time rotating, watching him, making sure he doesn't get loose. Okay? Then verse 5, it says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer. Everybody say constant prayer. Say constant prayer. Say ready rota. It says, but constant prayer, and Reddy Rota was in that group, was offered to God for him by the church. Let me tell you something. You want to get out of your impossible situation, you better pray. It ain't a man thing, it's a God thing. The stuff that I want to happen in my life, I don't want man to do, I want God to do. Because God is bigger and badder and stronger than man. Okay? He is the man. Right? So what we want to do is we want to have God work on our behalf. The Bible says that God can do exceedingly abundantly, more than you can ask, or everybody say imagine. Say imagine. That means if you sit in your house, in your car, in your boat, in a plane or your plane, depending on who you are, and if you have a plane, can we talk after in the lobby? But you can sit in your whatever and you can imagine all this stuff for your life. You know what God says? That's all. That's all you want. That's all you trust me for. God says I could go way beyond that, but you don't have any faith. That's what prayer is. Prayer says, God, show me your vision. Give me your words, your knowledge, your power to do your work. All for him, his glory. Not for your glory, not for my glory. His glory. So right here, the church is praying. But here's my million-dollar question. What are they praying for? You think they're praying for Peter to get out? They're probably praying, oh, God, we pray if Peter gets killed and he just go to heaven and it doesn't hurt. We just pray that they treat him good and they give him good food and, you know, that it doesn't stink in the prison. I believe, it doesn't say this in here, but I believe Rhoda was saying, Lord, get him out. Get him out. Save his life. The Bible says they're praying. The Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Constant communication with God, day and night. Not only talking to God, but him talking to you. You know that God has more important things to say to you than you had to say to him? How many believe that? Very good. How many of y'all don't believe? How many think you got something more important to say to God than he got to say to you? Please. We're praying to God. God's like, okay, do I get a chance to talk? And we're like, dear God, amen, we're off. And he's like, ah. Constant prayer. Look what it says, verse 6. And when Herod heard, when Herod was about to bring him out, that night, look what it says. That night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains, between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So he's got two, one on each, one on the right, one on the left, two outside, four total, chained up, two chains. And behold, look at the miracle. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him in the and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. Imagine that. You're all chained up. All of a sudden, this guy nudges you, you look up, and you clink, 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 clink. You go, look at that. He goes, let's go. Look what it says. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. So he did, and he said to him, put on your garments and follow me. First thing I want to tell you about a miracle, whatever impossible situation you're in, God is in it with you. He's in the prison. He's got concrete ceiling, walls, floor, metal chains, soldier. He's locked up, and his mind is telling him, I'm not getting out. He's sleeping. He's not even trying to get out. He's sleeping. He ain't even praying. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with sleeping, so he's sleeping. But guess what? God is in the prison with him. He's right there with him. Go, man, why don't you wake up? Get up, man. Hurry up. We got to get out of here. Whatever situation you're in tonight, whatever you're going through right now, God is in it with you. He knows what you feel. He knows what you fear. He knows how you hurt. He knows all the things you're scared of. Some of y'all in college, you're going into your senior year. Some of y'all getting ready to go to college. You're scared. Let me tell you something. God is right there with you. Some of y'all been through horrible things. God is there. He's right there. There is nowhere you can go where he is not. And there is nowhere you can go where you could escape his power. Not only is he there, he has the power and knowledge to get you out. Because even though Peter was locked up in the prison, God was in the prison, but God wasn't locked up in it. In other words, even though you may be trapped in your sin, trapped in your depression, trapped in your discouragement, God's not trapped by it. God's not held down by it. Even though you may not have any money to get what God's telling you to do, God's not limited by your lack of money, your lack of information, your lack of education. He's not limited by that. The Bible says that God chose the foolish things of the earth to confound the wise. He chose the dumb people to confound the smart people. My last semester in college, I was an engineering student, and math and science was my thing. I like all that stuff. And my last semester, I didn't really care. And I was looking at, about 2 years ago, I was looking at my report card. I was so embarrassed. I got letters for grades I didn't know that they gave. I got a D, an F, a U. A U was like, The D was duh. I got some other letters. I didn't know what it meant, but it wasn't A, B, C. It was stuff. And you know what happened? God said, you know what? You're not stupid. You didn't apply yourself, but it was dumb not to apply yourself. But you know what God said? I'm going to take these bad grades. We're going to start over. And I'm going to take your knucklehead self, and we're going to start over. You know, if you surrender yourself to God and you let God have his way with your life, he can do through you infinitely more than you can do for yourself. Because he's bigger than you, stronger than you, smarter than you, more powerful than you. He's everywhere. Omnipresent, that means everywhere. Omnipotent, all-powerful. Omniscient, all-knowing. He's all of that. And we're like this compared to him. Here, Peter is in prison, and God is in the prison. And the fact that God's in the prison should represent to Peter, there's nothing I can't do, because if God is here, God can get me out. God knows how to get out of this prison. I don't know if you know, remember the story in Daniel chapter 3 of three young men, Jewish boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told by King Nebuchadnezzar, who built an idol to himself 90 feet high, 9 feet wide. Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't bow to this idol, I will throw you in fire and kill you. These boys were so faithful to God, they knew they were never going to bow to another idol. They wouldn't even do that. All they had to do to save their life was do that. And the devil would say, listen, smoke cigarettes, go get high, go have sex, go do this, and just fit in with the crowd. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego said, we're not even going to do that. I would have been coughing, dropping something on the ground. I ain't getting in that fire, yo. You know what the Bible says? They didn't bow. Nebuchadnezzar said, are you crazy? I'll throw you in the fire. He said, do what you got to do, Nebuchadnezzar. We ain't bowing. They threw him in the fire. You know what the Bible says? The angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, whenever you see that, that's Jesus. Went in the fire with him. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord went in the fire with him. And they're in the fire. And the Bible says that when they finally came out, their hair wasn't singed. The smoke smell was not on their clothes. The Bible says this. And that they were not affected by the flames. Why? Because God was not only in there, they were trusting and abiding him, and God did what nobody could do. He protected them from flames. Whatever you're going through right now, God is right there, and he knows. And you know what he says? Come to me, and I will give you rest. Pray to me, and I will forgive you. I will renew your mind, cleanse you of your sin. I will give you a whole new start in life. Take your feet out of a miry clay and put it on the rock. Amen. That's what he says he's going to do. But you have to acknowledge that he's there. Acknowledge that he is God. Matter of fact, our memory verse for the week, let me read it to you, is Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to believe God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. That means you can't please God without faith. And if you come to God, you must believe that not only does he exist, but that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm not talking about doing a little 5-minute prayer here, do a little, you know, two-minute deal on praying for somebody or reading your Bible one little chapter a week. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about seeking him day and night like we seek the things of the world. When I first met my wife, she wouldn't give me her phone number. She wouldn't, you know, slow dance with me. She was all like this. Give me the Heisman. Get back. But I sought her, stalked her, found her, and got her phone number. But you know what? You got to seek God like that. So here is Peter. In prison, the angel comes in. The angel not only knows how to get him out, but the angel has the power to get him out. And the Bible says in verse 10, when they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Let me tell you something. Today, if you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you know what God says? I am willing and want to forgive you. I want to set you free. I want to take those chains off your mind, off your heart, off all your hope. Some of y'all have hope. It's there, but it's all chained up, locked up in the back of the room. You don't even see it. It's there. Some of you have dreams. It's all chained up. Whenever I go speak in high schools, I ask kids all the time, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, no. There's got to be something. Oh, no. And they're scared because they don't want all the other kids laughing at them when they say something. But once you start getting them talking, once one kid says something, then they start, I want to be a doctor, the president, NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball. They start spewing out all this stuff that's buried down in their heart. Even if it's ridiculous, it's okay. It's better to dream something than nothing. My daughter, she likes animals, and she likes anything living. I mean, I found a butterfly in the middle of the street, no lie. It was like just dead. It was like this. It was almost dead. So I said, she's like, stop the car. I got to save it. She goes out, she's like, oh, and she's, you know, getting it, put in a little bag, takes it home. We had some mice in our house. I don't know if I told you the story a couple weeks ago, and we were killing these mice left and right. Bam, 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 bam. Loved it, right? And then after we killed these two mice, we heard for a whole day, 24 hours. I'm like, what is that sound? I go up in this box, and there's this little baby mouse. It was about the biggest, the last digit on my pinky. Little fuzz. His eyes were still shut. Mommy, mommy, mommy. I said, yeah, we killed your mother. Your father, too. Is it cruel? My wife killed him. My wife is the killer. She's a murderer. A serial mouse murderer. I said, Debbie, that was Mickey's family. You killed Mickey's family. So this little mouse, like, oh, 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 oh. And just like, oh, oh, oh. So my daughter's like, oh, I got to save it. I'm like, Kelly, that is the enemy. That you nurse that thing back to life, we're just going to do nothing but kill it. She's giving him a little water. She's putting a little box and nurse this thing. And every day, it's getting bigger. It's getting, the fuzz is turning to hair. And it's like you're growing a monster. So I asked my daughter, and by the way, the little baby died. Yeah, we buried it. We buried it. Anyway, I asked my daughter when she was real little, right? She's had this love for animals her whole life. What do you want to be when you grow up? Now, I figured she'd say a vet, animal trainer. You know, she's a real good artist, draw animals. She says, no, Daddy, I want to own a zoo. I want to own the zoo. Someone's got to own the zoo. Why can't it be my daughter? Why can't we dream this big? You got to ask God, 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 get me out of this prison. Set me free. Use me to do something I wouldn't even think of, that I wouldn't even think of. Whatever you want. And when you give your life to Christ, that is the first day of this new adventure, as long as every day you walk by faith. As long as every day you trust him, you listen to him, and you obey him. But it's got to be a total surrender. It's not a partnership, 50-50. I got some ideas. God's got some ideas. I got some power. God's got some power. Uh-uh. When Jesus died on the cross, he died. They beat him where his back muscles were ripped off the bone. They whipped him 39 times with a cat of nine tails, 9 leather straps with metal bones and bone and metal chips coming out of the leather. They put 2-inch thorns in his head. They pulled his beard out. They beat his face in. And he hung there for 6 hours. He died. He surrendered everything. When you give your life to Christ, what you're saying is, God, I surrender everything. Everything. Because guess what? If he really wanted it and wanted to take it, he could take it. I hope you know that. Like that. Just like that. But then he can give you back even better quality of life. So what you do is you say, Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize that, yes, if I die without Christ, I would go to hell. Not only do I not want to go to hell, I want you to live with me now. Use me now. Transform me now. In 1984, I asked Christ to be my Savior, and I stopped doing cocaine in one day. Stopped smoking marijuana in one day. Got back with my girlfriend, who's now my wife, that same day. God says, I'm going to take your life in one day and go, because we got work to do. God's got work to do in your life. You don't even know what it is. You can't even imagine what it could be. I would have never imagined this. So here's Peter. And the Bible says that God opened the gate, did supernaturally what only he can do. And what God can do in your life that no one else can do is cleanse you of your sin and renew your mind and restore in your life what you and the world have destroyed and give you a whole new start. Look at verse 11. When Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the Jewish people. What? This brother's sleeping. Look at him. He's sleeping. He got chains on. And the angel says, wake up. He wakes up, sees his light. He thinks it's a dream. He sees the chains fall off. Clink, clink, clink. The angel says, let's go. He starts walking over the guards, walking out the gate, out the prison, out the gate. And he's the whole time, he's like, what is going on? Let me tell you something. When God does what he does, it is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because God is supernatural. God don't deal in little bitty simple things that, you know, you could, stuff you can do, you do. God deals in the supernatural. And the things that you could never think could happen, God does. That's what he does. That's what he does. He's in the miracle business. He's not limited by your knowledge or your understanding. He's not limited by your concept of him. He is bigger than big. And there's no limit to him. I was watching Discovery Channel yesterday, and I never knew this, that fish have nostrils. Did you know that? I didn't know that. They have little holes right here on the top of their head, and they smell the water. I thought that was pretty amazing. I was sitting there, and they were like, you know, I caught the tail end of it, and they showed this little crab, and the crab had little tentacles, and the tentacles were going like this, and he was smelling the water, right, left. A great white shark can smell a drop of blood a mile away. That's a smelling fool right there. How they know that, I have no idea. You know what God did? He said, I'm going to make some fish. That was it. He took a nap. He made everything in the ocean in one day. You might not believe that. Hey, if you don't believe that, then guess what? You can't believe the rest of the stuff in this book. Where'd it come from? He made it. He made it. And if God can do all of that and make fish smell water without breathing the water in the nose, breathing air from the oxygen in another place in their body, if he can do all that and all the things he did in your life, to make you the heavens and the earth and the stars and the trees and the bees and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. And you ask him to take control of your life and you surrender to your life to him. What he will do in your life will be unbelievable. Your head will spin. You will be so much on a wild ride with God. But it takes and requires you to walk by faith with him every day. Look what the Bible says in verse 12. When he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door, a girl, or your Bible may say damsel, which is a young girl, an adolescent girl named Rhoda. Everybody say Rhoda? Say Rhoda. Okay, take a deep breath. Rhoda. There you go. Whew. Came to Rhoda to answer, and when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, girl, you are crazy. You're tripping. Look what it says. She says, yet she kept insisting that it was so she said, it is an angel. And they said, it's an angel. They didn't believe it was Peter. Here they are praying. Oh, dear God, we pray your best. Peter, pray. Oh, dear God. Peter knocks on the door. She goes to the door. Hello? Peter says, it's me. Not only did she believe it was him, but let me tell you something. She didn't see him. There was no peephole. Right? They didn't have peepholes back then. They didn't. I'm just telling you that. Just believe that. Just believe me by faith. She recognized his voice. You ever have someone's voice, you go, it could be them, it could be not. Not only did she know his voice, she just went by that. She didn't say, it can't be Peter, where she denied her ear to recognize his voice. She was expecting it, and she believed it, and went in the house. I don't know if she was expecting it, but she believed it, went in the house, and said, it's him. And she was so convinced that she kept insisting. She didn't let those people tell her it wasn't him. How many times has God done something in your life and you want to believe it's God and everyone else discouraged you and said, oh, it's not God. God doesn't care about those things in your life. It is God. I was driving in the neighborhood of this building the other night, 12:01, deserted. I'm just looking at houses, parking lots, praying, and I'm listening to this music. I like mellow and depressing music. I like that kind of music. So it kind of gets me down, kind of gets me real reflective. So I'm driving through this neighborhood, And all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, this is midnight. It's not 11. It ain't 10. It is 12:01. I looked on my clock. And in this little tennis court, basketball court type fenced in thing, there these bright lights at midnight, nothing else lit up, and these 8 kids were playing football, like 10 years old. And I'm thinking, it's like a movie. If I saw it in a movie, I wouldn't believe it. So I slowed down because they were getting ready to run this play. I wanted to see what was going to happen. The girl was the quarterback. Yeah. She was. Now, the only thing, you know, when girls take the snap, because they're very sensitive, they get way down here where the ball is. Okay? They don't do it like we do it, but that's okay. They get way down here. So she's all the way down like this looking at the ball. The guy's getting ready to hike the ball. And her friend, another girl, is a wide receiver. So she gets the ball, and I'm driving trying to watch this play. She drops back, throws a bomb, and the other girl is burning this dude. She hauls it in, scores a touchdown. And I'm like, okay, I got to go U-turn. I'm going to get out and go give this girl a high five. So I turn around, and the girl who caught the pass, by the time I turn around, the boys are walking back like this because they – And the girls are at the end, and the girl caught the ball. She's doing this. You know, she's like reliving it. I was good, huh? I was good. And then the quarterback girl was giving her high fives like this. I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this, and I started crying. The reason I started crying, it was like, it was almost like it was years ago when little kids can be out late at night and do little kid things. Because it was deserted, and it was a housing project. And I said, look at those little kids. They have no idea about life and how much God loves them and what God could do in their life and all the evil that surrounds them. Here they are innocently playing football at 12 o'clock at night, having some – I mean, to see this girl with this long hair burning this dude, the girl with long hair throwing this pass, these little boys getting toasted. You know what? God wants to do that in your life. He wants you to say, look, surrender your life to me. Believe me. Believe that I love you. If God didn't love you, guess what? You wouldn't be here today. You really wouldn't. And this girl, Rhoda, she was so ready for this miracle. She wouldn't let anybody tell her this is not true. The Bible goes on to say they finally let him in. And he tells how the Lord set him free. He said, God did this. Y'all didn't do this. Only God could have set me free. Let me tell you something. Only God can successfully get you out of your impossible situation and do an impossible thing in your life. With man, all things are impossible. With God, nothing's impossible. But the first thing you got to do is you got to acknowledge that God is, that he is there, that he is who he says he is, the creator, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you have to acknowledge that his son, Jesus Christ, lived 33 years, a sinless life, born of a virgin, yes, and died a brutal death to pay for your sin, hung on a cross for 6 hours. All that is a historical fact. He really did. That's history. They buried him and put 12 soldiers in front of the tomb. That's historical fact. Pontius Pilate did it. He rose from the dead, and guess what? He walked around for 40 days. He didn't rise from the dead and disappear. He walked around for 40 days. That is an historical fact. You have to say, if he did all that, man, how could that be fake? Buddha didn't do that. Muhammad didn't do that. Confucius didn't do that. Koresh ain't going to do it. Jesus. Only Jesus. Your impossible situation is that if you deny him, how are you going to answer for that? You can't. God's going to say, no. On August 13th, you heard the message. You are accountable. Your impossible situation is answered by God. He has opened the door of opportunity. And he says, if you want it, you can have it. If you want forgiveness, you can have it. If you want a new life, you can have it. But you have to surrender. You have to surrender. Imagine trying to date somebody, and a girl or the guy, whoever you're trying to date, says, I'm going to be with you 6 days a week. Me and you like that. Like white on rice. I'll let that marinate. Y'all might not get that right away. My father used to always say it to me. I'm going to be on you like white on rice. You and her like that. But she says, one day a week. I got another little boyfriend over here. Just one day. Is that okay? You crazy? I want you 24/7. God wants you 24/7. He wants everything you have 24/7. He don't want to share you. You can't step both feet, don't step at all. You can't surrender everything, don't surrender at all. So in a minute, we're going to pray. You have a situation, a decision to make. Are you ready to give your life to Christ? Are you ready to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead that you may be saved. Are you ready to acknowledge him as God, your Savior? So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. We thank you so much that you are in the miracle-making business. There is nothing impossible for you. Lord, I thank you that you know everyone here. You know their whole life. You know their history before they were born. I thank you that you are speaking to them now in words they understand. And I thank you that those who need to surrender their life to you, their heart is pounding. Their mind is racing a million miles a minute, wondering, what will this mean if I do this? Lord, I pray they don't worry about that. They need to be thinking, what will it mean if they don't? We know what that is. Eternal separation from you. Continued separation from you here. Lord, I pray right now that anybody here who realizes they need Christ as their Savior would, by faith, surrender their life to him as we pray. If you realize that today is the day of salvation for you, today is the day you surrender, today is the day you repent, today is the day you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, not your good luck charm, but your Savior, your Lord, your Master. If you realize that and you want to repent of your sin, pray this prayer with me. But as you pray, you must have faith. You must not only believe that God is and that he exists, but that he loves you and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him by faith. You must believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead for your sin and that he loves you and knows you. And that today he is anxiously waiting to forgive you of everything. Yes, of everything. But you also must believe that once you give your life to him, you belong to him. He calls the shots. So if you would like Jesus to be your Savior, in the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer by faith. Don't pray it out loud. Pray it in your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that my sin is wrong, that it will kill me and send me to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to walk with him now, and I want to walk in heaven. I believe that he died and rose from the dead for my sin. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. Be my Savior, my Lord, my Master. Please take over my life. I surrender everything to you. Thank you, Jesus. In a second, as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a second, I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that prayer. If you prayed that prayer, you just acknowledged to God that all your life you've been wrong. All your life you've been looking for him. All your life you've been a sinner. You just acknowledged to God that everything you've been trying to do was a futile attempt of trying to find him and give you what only he can give you. So if you prayed that prayer, you just acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he is now your everything, that you have surrendered your life to him, and you are ready to walk with him by faith. You won't be perfect, but by faith you're going to walk with him. If you prayed that prayer, you just said, my old life is gone, but now my new life has come. And my new life is going to be way better than my old life. It has nothing to do with good looks. It has nothing to do with money or political power. It has everything to do with faith and having a personal relationship with the eternal God. So if you prayed that prayer, when I ask you to stand, you shouldn't have to think about it anymore. You've been thinking about it all your life. So as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer to give Christ your life, to ask him to forgive you right now, stand to your feet and acknowledge that right now. Anybody in this place, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If God spoke to you and you spoke to him and gave your life to him, stand to your feet right now. The Bible says if you're ashamed of him before man, he's going to be ashamed of you. You can't walk with God at work if you can't stand here in church. This is the place where you have family. This is the place where we're going to cheer for you. You're going to get attacked. You're going to get talked about, made fun of. Praise God, though. But here's where the first step of faith in public happens. Anybody else, stand to your feet and acknowledge Jesus as your Savior. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God wants to set you free. He wants to love you, not beat you on the head. Why would you wait? Why would you say no? How could you say no? God bless you. Good. That beer bottle in your refrigerator can't give you this. That weed you got in your car can't give you this. That cocaine you're going to buy tonight can't give you this. That sex you're going to have tonight or you want to have ain't going to give you this. It's all empty. Stand to your feet and give your life to Jesus. Anybody else? God bless you. Good. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Now we're going to ask all you people who are standing to do one more thing. We want to welcome you to the family of God. We want to encourage you right now. If you're standing, come out of your seat. Come right down here to the altar. Let's encourage them. Come on down here right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let them out of the row. Let them down the aisle. Let them out of the row. Let them down the aisle.
What?
God bless you. Stand right there. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Come on. Let's cheer for them. Come on. God bless you. Face this way, you guys. Face this way. God bless you. Face this way. God bless you. Good, good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, little girl. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, what's up, man? God bless you. God bless you. Good, good. Come on. You can't be tired of cheering. God bless you. 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 How you doing? God bless you. Good. God bless you. All of y'all. All of y'all. Face this way. Face this way. All of y'all down here. God has a plan for your life. You do not know what it is. You don't. I've been walking with God 15 years and some stuff I know, but I wake up every day. God, what do you got new for me today? You don't know what it is. By faith, you have to surrender your life to him every day. By faith, you read this book. Don't let people tell you, well, the Bible's not true. God, if God created the heavens and earth, he can write a book. I've written 5 books. He can write a book and get it right. He can. It's supernatural. Every day, all you got is one responsibility as a Christian is to obey God. That's it. The reason we read this book is to know what to obey. The reason we pray is to get the power to obey. The reason we go to church is to learn what to obey, to see what it looks like to obey. We see other people obeying. That's it. Obey God. If God tells you to move to Montana, you got to go. You got to go. If God tells you to get involved in usher or serve or whatever it is, you got to do it. What else are you going to do? You can't fight God. If God tells you to start preaching at your job, you got to start preaching at your job. If God tells you to change your major, break up with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, guess what? You got to do it. It's going to happen sooner or later. And you might as well get it done because it's so painful when you don't do it his way. Amen. For all y'all out there, couple things I want to say. We're going to pray for what? Seal the deal. Everybody say seal the deal. Seal the deal. Pray God. Play it next week. I got some incredible news. This story, Reddy Rota, is in a book called Bad to the Bone. It's a book about kids in the Bible. 13 weeks of devotionals about kids in the Bible. Reddy Rota got a whole week. The book, I wrote this book. The book's in the lobby if you want to get one. But here's what I want you to do is your homework. Every week we got homework. I want you to identify your impossible situation. Write it down. Don't think it only. Write it down. Say, God, here is my impossible situation. And start praying every day that God deals with it, whatever he wants to do. Your biggest impossible situation you just dealt with, facing God without Christ. That was the biggest problem. Amen. That's right. But I'm sure in your mind you got about 40 other things, right? Guess what? God's like, no problem. No problem. Give them to me. Just give them to me. Amen. Just give me. We're going to play another song, brother. We're going to play another song. We're going to pray first, though. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Then we're going to play another song. Lord, we thank you so much for salvation. We thank you that you do the absolute impossible. You do what no man can do. You undoubtedly do what no man can do. No man can save another man. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can forgive. Only Jesus can transform life, create life. We pray new life on all these people standing here at the altar. That their old life will be gone and new life will come, and they will let you do what you want to do on your timetable. And I pray for everyone in this room that, Lord, they would identify their impossible situation and surrender it to you and believe that you are in the midst of that impossibility, getting ready to do the impossible. The impossible. H-I-M-P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E. The impossible. Lord, way we surrender that. Lord, we pray for this building. We pray for this property. We pray that you would seal the deal on our behalf. That we can have a home from which we could do your work. In more places than, Lord, that we've even thought of to this day. We know you have things for us to do that we haven't even thought of. And we're excited about that. We pray that you seal the deal. Give us the faith to do our part in securing that place and prospering in that place spiritually. And we pray all these things in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Next week, we will be at Montezuma Hall at 5 and 7:15. If you come here, there may be a dog show. I don't know. All you people here, we're going to turn to your right and walk that way. Everybody walk that way. Walk that way. We're going to sing a song, and I'll see you in the lobby. Walk that way. Let's give them a hand.